Our epistle for Septuagesima Sunday is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, and chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. Brethren, do you not know that those who run in a race all indeed run, but one receives the prize? So run as to obtain it. And everyone in a contest abstains from all things, and they indeed to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable. I therefore so run as not without a purpose. I so fight as not beating the air, but I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest perhaps after preaching to others, I myself should be rejected. For I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized in Moses, in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Yet, with most of them, God was not well pleased. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And having agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And about the third hour he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace idle. And he said to them, "Go you also into my vineyard, and I will give you whatever is just." So they went. And again he went out about the sixth and about the ninth hour and did as before. But about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing about. And he said to them, "Why do you stand here all day idle?" And they said to him, "Because no man has hired us." He said to them, "Go you also into my vineyard." And when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning from the last even to the first." And when they of the 11th hour came, they received each a denarius. And when the first in their turn came, they thought they would receive more, but they also received each his denarius. And on receiving it, they began to murmur against the householder, saying, "These last have worked a single hour, and thou hast put them on a level with us, who have borne the burden of the day's heat." But answering one of them, he said, "Friend, I do thee no injustice. Didst thou not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is thine and go. I choose to give to this last even as to thee. Have I not a right to do what I choose? Art thou envious? Or art thou envious because I am generous? Even so, the last shall be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen." Thus far the words of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. So run as to obtain it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, we are now in the pre-Lenten season, a time for us to prepare for that holy season of Lent, where we can reap many blessings if we make good use of it. But far too often, the seasons come by and we just kind of go with them and we don't make use of them. But the penitential seasons have special graces attached to them. And if we properly participate in those seasons, as Holy Mother of the Church would have us do, then we can reap those graces that are offered to us. But it's important for us, I think, to get a little serious with ourselves if we really want to find ourselves profiting from the holy season of Lent. And the first thing we have to do is realize where we are. Judge ourselves honestly about what we are doing. It's at that point we can see where we need to change, and then we can proceed in striving to change. First, where are we? We're in life. Life is short. You've heard it said before, most people hear it and it goes in one ear and out the other, and they somehow think they're invincible, and none of us are. We're not meant for this world. It's not a scary thought. It's a reality. We're meant for something greater. We're meant to be something greater than just getting the accolades of our fellow men or becoming rich with the perishable riches of this world. We're called to something higher by someone who is greater. We're called to be saints. We were made to be one with our Creator and be forever in our true home, which is heaven. Now, with all that being said, what am I doing to get there? Do I have the ignorance to think that for some reason I'm just going to make it to heaven? It doesn't work that way. It doesn't even work if we every now and again say some prayers. What does it say in Scripture? Work out your salvation in fear and trembling. It means it has to be on the top of our things to do list each day, every day, from the beginning of the day throughout the day. And how we do it because we want to get the prize. This is one of the main purposes for the holy season of Lent. And people, they think, oh, time of penance, I have to fast, I have to do this. No, you get to get an abundant amount of grace if you do what you could and are asked to do. But it takes an effort, it takes a work. It's something that's just not going to happen. Holy Mother of the Church, being a good mother, sets a time aside for us to prepare for this great season of Lent. We have 2.5 weeks. What you're going to do and why you're going to do it. That's what these 2 weeks are there for. So that when Lent comes, you're like, oh, I wasn't ready. No, you're ready. You start on day one. You implement those practices, those sacrifices, and you unite them with the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And you do it joyfully. You prepared yourself to do this consistently. You've taken away all the other things that might be around that distract you or would be a hindrance to what you're called to do and what you have prepared yourself or you're wanting to do. With that being said, it gives rise to a story which I have heard. I think I've told you before, but it bears repeating. It was about this contractor who built houses. He was hired by companies to go and put up these buildings, but they weren't any type of buildings. They were pretty nice. Some of them would even be considered mansions. And he did a good job. And he did this for quite a few years and was successful, and he became well known and much work came his way. But as the years went on, he grew tired. And he's like, okay, you know what? I think it's time for me to retire. And so he let it be known that he was going to quit working, and he let his associates know. And there's this one particular person who had hired him and was very impressed with all his work and says, okay, before you retire, can you build me one last house? He's like, please. You don't have to worry about any expenditure. I'll pay for it all. You get yourself the best workers, get yourself the best material, and I really appreciate it. And take as much time as you would like. And because he was pretty good friends, he was like, okay. Right from the very outset, because he was not really wanting to do this, and the blueprints, they weren't as well looked after, making sure that all the compliances were there, or it was the best structure. And this just kept going on, and it was through the whole project. He got who he could get in order to get the job done quickly, not the best. The materials that he used, they weren't the best. They were just what he could get. Corners were cut. It was definitely not his best work. And when he was finished with it, he was not proud of his work that he did, but out of sight, out of mind, that's what he thought. I didn't even want to do it anyways. So he went to the man who hired him and says, "All right, here's your house." And the man who hired him took one look at it, didn't even walk inside, took the keys to the house and handed it to him. He goes, "I want to give this house to you. You know, token of appreciation for all the projects that you've done for me." Now you can imagine what that man must have felt like. He could have had a pretty valuable house, but he knew what he had because he built it. The moral of the story is this. When we're honest with ourselves, we know what we are doing and how we're living. We know what our relationship is like with God. We know if we're just playing the game religion or if we really are taking our religion seriously. And when we come to find that out and we find deficiency in ourselves and in our lives, now we have an opportunity. We can change if we want to. But the choice is ours. The choice isn't the priest. The choice isn't the religious. The choice isn't our parents. The choice isn't our friends. The choice is ours. We waste too much time thinking and caring what other people think or caring about what other people are doing. What is so-and-so? The murmur and the gossip and everything else. It's a waste of time. There's an epistle that we don't read too much about, of. And that epistle is the epistle St. James. St. James, he just lays it straight out. And I think maybe we should read the epistles of St. James a little bit, at least once through if you haven't. I'm going to read part of it. "Whence do wars and quarrels come among you? Is it not from this, from your passions, which wage war in your members? You covet and do not have, you kill and envy and cannot obtain, you quarrel and you wrangle, and you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it upon your passions. Adulterers, do you not know that the friendship of this world is the enemy of God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of this world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scriptures says in vain, 'The spirit which dwells in you covets unto jealousy, but he gives a greater grace'? For this reason, it says, 'God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.' Be subject, therefore, to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be sorrowful and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy into sadness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will exalt you." That has to be our purpose during Lent. Clearing the way to let the Lord exalt us. Being truly humble, knowing who we are, knowing who God is, and approaching him sincerely and then you will have him more fully. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Confession shall be heard.